and welcome to the Fun Kids Bookworms podcast. It's a big one today. We've got some absolutely massive names in the show. We are celebrating lots of awesome books. So later on, I'll be talking to Elle McNichol about her brand new one, Keedy. We've got Claire Balding and her Animal All-Stars. But first up, it's Jo Wicks and Fitter, Healthier, Happier. Hello, welcome to the show. Jo Wicks, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Bex. I'm really excited to talk about my new book. I'm very passionate about getting kids moving. So, you know, the book's called Fitter, Healthier, Happier, and that's the goal, to help children learn about the body, learn about the mind, food, how it affects our mood and our mental health, and really get kids thinking about themselves and taking care of themselves.
And not just kids, to be honest, grown-ups as well, because I read it and I learned so much. I was like, oh my God, there's so much I'd forgotten from school or so much I didn't know. It was quite informative.
Yeah, well, I remember being a kid, you know, being really fascinated by PE. Well, especially like the anatomy and physiology side of things, like when I started learning about the body and the muscles and stuff. So, yeah, I kind of go into, you know, all the systems of the body. We talk about the cardiovascular system, the muscles, the heart, the lungs and the bones, and then goes into more like digestion and nutrition. And it's really kind of simple, practical advice and tips with some really sort of fun quizzes and some challenges and some games and things to kind of get you moving, you know, and just feeling good.
So good, because you go into the basics of it to explain everything, like, you know, the building blocks of like your skeleton and how that works and like different joints and different ways that your body moves. And then, you know, blood and platelets and the organs inside you. And was this something that you knew already, or did you have to do some extra research to kind of like get it back in your head?
Although I was very passionate about learning about it as a kid, and obviously I'd done my sports science degree, it's all sort of there, but I had to definitely refresh my memory. It's like now I'm teaching my little daughter maths and I feel like I'm basically key stage one maths at the moment. Like, trying to do numbers and stuff about. So yeah, definitely went on a journey myself, but I enjoyed it. Again, I found it quite interesting, again, just picking up new facts and information and trying to put it into a digestible format where kids, it's aimed at sort of children between sort of say 6 and 12 years old. So that sort of school age. And yeah, it's really interesting. I call it an action-packed journey through the body and mind with plenty of tips, fab facts and inspiring activities. So yeah, it's a practical book that gets you moving as well.
Yeah, in the book, you've got to kind of separated it into knowing your body, moving your body, fueling it and focusing it. So there's lots of different things to think about when it comes to your body, because it's not just being physical, is it? It's like mentally preparing yourself for stuff as well. And you put a lot of stuff in there about how to feel less anxious or how to feel less stressed out.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we address this and talk about this as at a young as possible age, because, you know, as teenagers and as kids growing up, we struggle. It's difficult. And so to talk about your feelings is a really important skill. It's about learning to express how you feel, to deal with those feelings of anxiety or stress in your body, and know that you can actually release it through physical exercise, through sleep, through communicating with friends and family. So yeah, I talk about the importance of, you know, getting away from our screens and devices, getting fresh air, getting in nature, talking, communicating, and also just mindfulness. So breathing, taking some time to sort of reflect on things. And it's like, you know, you might not be a child that loves exercise, but you might find yoga or meditation or something is something you can use as a tool to cope with things. So yeah, I'm really proud of this book. It's been a long time coming. And I think it's almost like the stuff I talk about on social media every day with Instagram and YouTube and all my kind of content is all the same. It's just, this is the same message, but in a different format for younger children. And I really think it's going to be helpful and inspiring to kids.
I absolutely think it will do. In fact, Jo, we've made it our book of the month at Fun Kids. We've made sure we're going to put it everywhere as our book of the month, because I think it's such a wonderful message to put out there that, like, even if you don't feel like the most active person, you've got some stuff in there that everybody can do, some little basic exercises that makes it feel accessible.
Yeah, I'm trying to basically, you know, get kids moving, get kids thinking about how they can change the way they feel through exercise. And I was a young boy, you know, I had a very tough kind of home life. And for me, exercise and PE and sport, especially at school, was like, it was like my release. It was my therapy. I realized from such a young age that if I was feeling anxious and had these negative feelings and fear or doubt or uncertainty, that when I exercised, whether it was running to school or doing football in school, it was like my release. And I felt the power of that, you know. So as an adult now, even today, like, I use it. It's not just something I do to punish myself. It's not something I do to lose weight or to change how I feel on the outside. It's actually all about what's going on up here and helping me navigate through life and deal with stress and deal with, you know, negative emotions and feelings that we're always going to get at some point. So exercise, I think, is transformative. I think we've got to talk about the sleep as well, because as kids and as teenagers and adults, I feel like we're depriving ourselves of sleep because technology is so addictive and we stay out watching TV or, you know, on our phones and our iPads. And so I talk a little bit about how to sort of get a better bedtime routine and reduce that a little bit. And yeah, I just think it's very practical advice that people can actually take on board.
I tried one of your exercises. It's a balance exercise where it's like sitting down and standing up without
putting your arms like pushing down. And man, even that, I was like, God, it should not be this hard. I should be doing more balancing exercises, it turns out.
Yeah, there's a few little moves in there. There's some sort of bodyweight exercises and there's some balancing things. It's just really, very fun and accessible. But yeah, ultimately, it's just little challenges, little things you can do. So say reading a chapter and you go, oh, you know, what does this one mean? I can sort of try it out and see how your leg strength is on one leg versus the other. Yeah, I really love it. And I've got a little 5-year-old girl and I've been reading it to her at night and she's really enjoying it. So it's nice seeing her sort of eyes light up and she goes, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about, you know, farting and breaking wind when you got bloated, you know, because you've been eating stuff. So she finds it quite funny, some of the little facts I put out and stuff.
Does she also enjoy the little cartoon version of you that's in the book as well? Because, I mean, that must be quite fun to have yourself made into a picture, right?
Yeah, so my little girl, Lenny, she's only one, and she saw that and she said straight, she goes, Daddy, like she knew it was me. So Kate Sutton, she's done a great job because my little one-year-old recognised me. So yeah, she's done a good job with that.
Happy days, absolutely. You also have some really good stuff in there about fueling your body and about food. I really like the bit about different vitamins and what they do and where you get them from. Because I was like, I should know this, but I really don't. But it was fascinating to find out how they all kind of link together.
Yeah, that section for me was a bit eye-opening too as well. It's like learning about different, you know, micronutrients and vitamins. Because, you know, we kind of learn the basics about, you know, if we know what sort of things are fats, we know what's a protein, what's a carbohydrate, which I talk about. But yeah, getting into that sort of deeper level of understanding, it's new information as well to me. So it's great to know what sort of foods we can be adding into our diet to improve, you know, our overall health. But I'm not someone who is all about like, it's all or nothing. I think it's about balance, about allowing yourself to have a few treats now and again. It's not the end of the world, but trying to come back to that thing of whole foods, you know, and yeah, just trying to bring the family into it. I hope that children read this and maybe they say, Mum or Dad, can we like cook a new recipe this week? Can we try something different? So I'm hoping it really elevates, you know, the health for the whole family, really.
Oh, it absolutely will, man. And tell me, do you have like a top tip that we could tell our listeners right now? Like something that you took away from the book that you've really been like practicing or like maybe an exercise that you really enjoyed doing?
Nothing has the power to shift your mental health more than exercise. So I would always say if you could do one thing today, whether it's going for a walk, going out on your bike, doing a bit of a stretch in your living room or doing a HIIT workout on YouTube, it really fundamentally changes how you feel about yourself because the world can feel stressful externally. You know, we're always looking outside, but actually exercise brings you inside. It brings you internal to your own heart and lungs and your body. And you sort of, you realize that you can release stress from your body. You can release those negative feelings and you do always feel better afterwards. So, you know, you feel more energized. You feel like you can sleep better. You feel more calm and happier. So yeah, I would just say always come back to that thought that no matter what you're feeling right now, you can change it by physically moving yourself.
Man, it's so true. The amount of times I've been in a bad mood and then been like, I suppose I'll go for a run or a walk or something. And I come back in such a better mood and like, oh, it worked every time. It always works, doesn't it? Every time.
It will never let you down. You know, you might not like love exercise. You might not be motivated at the time, but you can always see that transition when you come out of the other side that, you know, you do feel energized. You do feel better. So yeah, don't wait for energy and don't wait for motivation. You've got to go and earn it. You've got to go and get it yourself through a bit of exercise.
Oh, what a top tip. Joe, thank you so much for telling us all about fitter, healthier and happier. As you can see, I've got my copy next to me. It's like my Bible now, I think. I'm just going to read it every now and again and get some advice. And yeah, thank you so much. And congratulations on making our book of the month.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy it and have a lovely day.
Next up in today's brilliant bookworm show, it's Claire Balding. Now, she's got a really fun guide to the animal kingdom where your favourite animals go head to head. And let's find out a little bit more, shall we?
So I'm joined right now by presenter and author Claire Balding. Hello, how are you going?
Hi, Bex. I'm really well, thank you.
Now, I have read your book, Animal All-Stars, and it's such a great idea for a book. You've got sports and animals combined into one epic kind of adventure.
I know the two things that I love most in the world, and that's the sort of reason behind wanting to create a book that was stuffed full of amazing fact, but sort of sporting fact about animals. So if all the fastest animals in the world lined up in a 100-meter running race, who would win? And not necessarily running, actually, just a 100-meter race. If they all had a strength competition, who would win? Who's got the best agility? Who's got the greatest superpower? There are all sorts of stuff about wild animals, about incredible birds, about creatures of the sea. But also, I think about domestic animals. There's a bit of information on cats and dogs. And my two cats, Button and Eric, they really like it when I'm working. So they like to, particularly Button likes to walk all across the keyboard and write sentences of her own. So I thought, well, if you're going to do that, let's just make you part of the book. So they've got a role to play as my reporters, my intrepid reporters, in this imaginary multi-sport octathlon. So an eight-discipline event in which all the animals participate.
Yeah, all of the events are awesome. You've got, like you say, you've got the 100-meter dash, you've got weightlifting, you've got the big swim. But what I like is that, you know, when I think, for example, of fastest animals, I think, I guess, a cheetah and a leopard racing. But you don't go there. You go for, like, bizarre animals that you wouldn't think would compete against each other.
Yeah, so Maud the sloth is in that speed race. And you might be thinking, well, what's the point of putting a sloth in there? Of course, they're not going to win it. But they actually have amazing things. She's only right. If she goes at her top speed, Maud, she can only do about 4 meters per minute. You know, putting that against the peregrine falcon, who's going 390 kilometers per hour, you know, super, super fast. But she's got an amazing thing she can do. She goes much faster than that if she's going through water, and she can hold her breath for 40 minutes. 40 minutes. I know.
I read this in the book and I was like, 40 minutes? I had no idea about this. Was that a fact that you learned from the book that you were surprised by? Was there any other facts that you were shocked by?
Loads. And I was talking to some children yesterday all about the book, and we were discussing, you know, they knew stuff like who's the fastest land animal. They know that's the cheetah, and they know the peregrine falcon is the fastest animal overall. But they didn't know, I was asking them about, there are these really incredible hunting dogs, canine hunting dogs, who communicate with each other. And I said, how do you think they communicate? And they were, you know, guessing with barking or, you know, howling. I said, no, it's sneezing. There's this really weird thing they do, that they sneeze, and that sends out communications, and they all then sort of join together to try and catch their prey. So there's tons of stuff that I learned that I didn't know, but also things that I know that I put in. So that fact about the underwater swimming for the sloth, I know that there was underwater swimming at the Olympics when they were in Paris for the first time in 1900, because that's just something I know. And I know loads of random facts about the Olympics. So there's stuff that I put in that's, you know, from my kind of weird data bank of knowledge. And there's other things that I'm learning. And every time I keep rereading the book, there's bits I've forgotten. I was like, oh, I forgot that.
It's so funny you say that, because the bit that really caught my attention as well was that ravens use sign language. That's how they kind of connect with each other, which I didn't know before I read the book.
Yeah. And also there's the animals that have memory, that can actually remember things really, really well and recognize faces. So the carrion crow, for example, on the most intelligent animals, you're kind of thinking, right, well, surely a mouse as well. But given that we're destroying the planet, I'm not sure we are that intelligent, to be honest. But yeah, there's all sorts of things, like the octopus is really intelligent as well. And the pig and the rat is really clever. And some of those can solve puzzles and they can remember things, they recognize faces. And some it's because they can display empathy, which takes emotional intelligence. So I really hope there's stuff in there that, you know, that is interesting for young readers, but also for adults. They're going, oh, I didn't know that. So if you read with your kids, you're learning things as well.
Oh, for sure. Were there any particular animal pairings in races that you surprised yourself by putting in there? Was there a kind of competition where you were like, oh, I don't know why I'm putting these animals together, but it kind of works?
Oh, well, the dung beetle against the gorilla in the strength competition, and indeed the ants. You'd think, well, why? Yeah, they can't compete with each other. Yes, they can. So yes, again, lots of different, and hopefully then bringing out the way that talent and skill is different in everyone. It's a celebration of, you know, what is strength? What is strength lifting the heaviest weight, or is strength lifting the heaviest weight in comparison to you, your body weight? So I think in that sense, yeah, I hope it's celebratory. I mean, for example, in the obstacle race, the fly, the humble house fly, it doesn't even have a name. It's the only animal in the whole book that doesn't have a name. There are facts about, you know, their reaction time is faster than any creature on the planet, the fly is. They can react 6 or more times faster than us, and they have a flicker fusion rate. So that is the how fast images are sent from the eye to the brain, and they are super, super fast. It's amazing. No wonder we can never quite catch flies.
You must be dead happy as well. There's a great cartoon of you through the book as well, which looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy. So the boy Fitzhammond has done the illustrations for this. And I do. I particularly like what he's done with Button and Eric, actually. I think they're really great. So Eric, because Eric, he's not as active as Button is. He's quite lazy. So he, in the book, this comes across as he's like the Zen figure, very calm, very, he gives little motivational speeches, but he doesn't really do anything. He's very, you know, take it easy because you've got time. Don't worry. You've got time. But yeah, that was fun to put them in and have them as part of it.
It's a really fun way of getting more facts in there as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And he talks about mental agility and breaking down when you've got big tasks that you're worried about, breaking them down into smaller chunks or spreading it out over a number of days or getting a friend to help you out. He's sort of practical with his advice. But yeah, he's the kind of cool, the guru of it all. Whereas Button's just full of facts. She's got lots of information that she wants to share with you.
Thank you so much, Claire, for telling us all about Animal All-Stars. And yeah, it's such a fun book and such a fascinating book as well. So thank you so much for it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Claire Balding for telling us all about Animal All-Stars. And finally, in today's podcast, we've got Elle McNichol. I love Elle. And she's got a brand new book out called Keedy. Now, it is the highly anticipated prequel to her award-winning debut novel, A Kind of Spark, which you may have also seen on CBBC recently. So let's find out more. I am here right now with, let's face it, friend of the show, Elle McNichol.
Oh, thank you so much.
How are you doing?
I'm really good. How are you? You look well.
Thanks so much. I'm super good. I, as usual, Elle, just love your book.
Thanks so much, Beck.
Just going to put it out there. And yeah, it would have been then, I guess, 4 years since we first spoke.
Yes, our first interview where we couldn't see each other.
No.
And it was so virtual, and now we're in the same room.
It's wild when you think, and we've met obviously many times since then, but A Kind of Spark is where it all began. For you, obviously, for our friendship, for just for everything in general, that was kind of the starting point for this book, for Keedy, because we're going back to a character from the original book,
yes,
which is Addie's big sister.
Yeah, this is a prequel to A Kind of Spark, so meaning it takes place before A Kind of Spark, 5 years before, to be specific. And yes, this is not from Addie's point of view, Addie the heroine of A Kind of Spark. This is from Keedy's point of view, her older sister. Keedy's 14 when this book takes place, mm-hmm, or about to turn 14, I should say. She is still in the small town of Juniper, and a lot of the characters, if you have read A Kind of Spark, will be in this book. But if you haven't read A Kind of Spark, you can still read this one, like I said, because it takes place before. And Keedy's school has a lot of problems with bullies, and Keedy has grown tired of it. So she puts up flyers all over school one day saying, I have had enough of these bullies, and if you are being bullied, you may give me a little bit of money. You know, she's not doesn't work for free.
Oh no, she's wise. She, yeah.
No, pay your freelancers. Yeah. But she says, I will take a little bit of money and I will sort your bully out for you, non-violent approaches only, and I will make your bully go away. And the school are not happy, but lots of students take her up on the offer, and she has a lot of work, which proves the height of the problem. And unfortunately, somebody comes to her and says, your sister Nina, your twin sister, and her friends are a problem. And there is the dilemma. Meanwhile, she's also growing a lot closer to her younger sister Addie, who is a lot more like her than she first realizes. I think that's
perfect.
A summary there.
Yeah, job done. Did my job for me. Thanks. That's exactly it. So you've got kind of Keedy's origin story, because it's,
yes,
kind of hinted at in A Kind of Spark.
Yeah.
But we don't really know exactly what's gone on for her,
yes,
previously.
Some of it we touched on in the television show. A Kind of Spark is a TV show on iPlayer. And some of Keedy's backstory is touched on in that. I'm not retelling that in this book. Mm-hmm. This is all brand new things. So if you've watched the show, don't feel like you're just about to read the same thing again. It's all brand new. And yes, a couple of events are hinted at in the first book, but they come to true fruition here. So the twins' 14th birthday party is hinted at in A Kind of Spark. And we have a full good look at it in this book, and it's one of the most dramatic moments, but I can't say any more about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting to go back, because obviously we've seen Addie's point of view in a lot of things. It's interesting to see Addie as she's six in the book, I think, in this,
yeah,
book, isn't she?
Yeah.
But also to see Nina and Keedy together, because obviously,
yeah,
their relationship is quite difficult as well, isn't it? For
yeah,
both of them, for different reasons.
Yeah, they're twins. And I think twins are fascinating because they are so close. I feel like when Keedy and Nina are alone, they are so close. And when anyone else steps into the room, suddenly they are worlds apart. And their relationship is very private and very complex. And in this book, it's really the heart of the book. The book is called Keedy, but it is about Keedy and Nina, as they kind of struggle with the fact that they are going in different directions, and neither of them is coping with that in a very healthy way. And it's such a natural part of being 14. It's not just your twin that you could be growing apart from. It could be a friend, could be a parent. It's that time of your life where everything becomes quite complicated. And meanwhile, Kitty gets a lot closer to Addy. So in a kind of spark, Addy and Kitty are so solid and they're so close. And this origin story, this prequel, is really about how that relationship became so close. They aren't close at the beginning of Kitty of this book, which I think is going to surprise a lot of the readers. But they become very close by the end. It's not a spoiler to say that they become very close, because that is the heart of A Kind of Spark. And this is the origin of how that came to be.
The teachers in a school, you have some difficult ones, but you do have some supportive ones. You have the lovely drama teacher.
Miss Latimer,
you know, and Mr. Ross. And it's nice to see that there are those support networks there, as well as the difficult people.
Absolutely. You always, every single school has phenomenal teachers in it. A bad teacher is a very rare thing to find. And the teachers that you've just mentioned are Kitty's rocks in school, and they understand that she's a free spirit and they like her, they support her. And there's a really fun moment at the end of the book. I can't spoil what happens, but they all kind of stand up for her in their own way. And that's, I think that was put there to represent, as Mr. Allison does as well, who is in this book too, it's to represent all the incredible educators who are supportive of all their children, but especially sometimes the neurodivergent children who find school very hard. So those characters are really there to represent those amazing educators that I get to meet every day doing this job. But yes, a very infamous teacher from A Kind of Spark does appear a couple of times in this book.
I know, I wanted to boo when I read those bits. And it is fascinating because obviously I've read A Kind of Spark, also watched the TV show recently as well, so it's quite fresh in my memory, I think. Obviously when I read it, I could kind of, I really visualised everything, but it's interesting how the TV show has also affected my thoughts of what the characters look like.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not a visual writer. I don't write a lot of descriptions when I write my books. It's more about how people's voices sound, and sometimes even what they're wearing rather than what they look like. But some of the actors have taken over. So I think of John now, who plays Mr. McIntosh, because he's so funny in the show. Season 2 is about to come out very, very soon. And John is even funnier as Mr. McIntosh in it. And sometimes Caitlin as Nina will push into my brain as well. And Lola, who plays Addie, and Georgia, who plays Caitlin, are both just so phenomenal. And the whole cast is phenomenal. So if you picture them while reading Kitty, that is absolutely fine with me, because we chose them for a reason. They are perfect.
And we should say that congrats on the TV show as well, because
thank you.
It's rare to get a book that gets turned into a lovely CBBC show and then to do so well as well. You just won an award this week,
right? Yes, I'm fresh off cloud nine after winning a Royal Television Society Award for Best Children's Programme. We all sobbed on stage. The official photograph is just four of us, me and Lola, who plays Addie, Anna, the showrunner, and Amy from the BBC, just sobbing on stage.
I don't blame you. It's an amazing achievement, and having season two as well.
Yep, very soon as well.
Does that make you think, are you going to write more books from the Juniper world, or do you think like actually it's going to transfer into the TV show now?
I think I'd love to do both. There's so much to say with this world and these characters, because it's so personal, because it's sometimes autobiographical. Kitty and Addie are so personal to me. I even get letters from people saying, when's Nina getting her own book, which I find very funny. I'm going to stay in this world as long as I can, because there's still so much to say. It's about so many things. It's about childhood, it's about sisterhood, it's about family. It's about being neurodivergent. I'm autistic like Addie and Kitty, so a lot of it is very personal. And yeah, so television or book, there is still more to say, I think.
And you've also got Bonnie and Angel as well.
Yes, Bonnie and Angel are in Kitty. Angel is a brand new character nobody's met, and I'm really, really excited to hear what readers think of her. And Bonnie is here too. Bonnie's having a great old time in this book. Yeah, and that's really fun. And I think I can actually say this. I don't know if I'll get in trouble, but Bonnie is in season two of the show as well.
Oh, cool!
So yes, I get so many letters from children saying, what about Bonnie, we want to hear about Bonnie, so but we double the Bonnie this year.
Oh, that's so good to hear, because it was just so nice reading about Kitty's world and her support network, her friends, and everything from her point of view, rather than obviously Addie looks up to Kitty.
Yes,
but it's so nice to see how Kitty became who she
was. I think this book as well, I think Kitty is a lighter read than A Kind of Spark. It's the same length, but I think content wise it's a little bit more light. And I think Kitty and Bonnie's friendship is such a nice part of the book. It's such a happy part of the book, so I really enjoyed writing the two of them together and having them in this story. And I'm so excited for people to see Bonnie's story in season two as well.
Oh man, I have to say also, I won't spoil anything, but the last bit of the book,
I'm not going to spoil it, but I just did a very knowing, I felt like I was very proud of myself.
There are some Easter eggs in the book. Keen-eyed readers are definitely going to be highlighting some things and knowing what that's about. But again, you can totally read this without having read or watched A Kind of Spark, but I'm so glad you picked up on that. I love the Easter eggs.
Oh my goodness, I loved it so much. I felt very, very smug. I was like, oh, get me in my books. Well, Elle, thank you so much for telling us all about Keedy, and I'm just so excited for people to read it.
Thank you.
And I love this world and I love your books, and also congrats on the TV show. Just well done on life.
Thanks, Elle. Bex. I'll see you very soon.
I'm sure we will. What an incredible podcast for you today. Joe Wicks, Claire Balding, and Elle McNichol all in one go. What a dream. If you've enjoyed this podcast, do like, subscribe, follow wherever it is you get your podcast from, and I'll be back very soon with more books. Bye.